here before you this morning. We just ask, O Lord, that you anoint your word afresh so that the word we are going to hear will not be ordinary words, but there will be the Spirit of God lifted up to bring about change in our lives, O Lord. Lord Jesus, fashion us, mold us, and work in us to be what you want us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your word be effective this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read from a very familiar passage. I'm sure we've read it over and over again, and many of us know that I love the story of the man here. And so I'll be sharing with us as I read from Judges. Let's open our Bible to Judges chapter 1. Chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 1 to 14. Actually, that's what I have in mind. But I may just go a bit above that. But let's see. Then the sons of Israel began to do what was bad in the eyes of Jehovah. So Jehovah gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian came to prevail over Israel. Due to Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the underground store places that were in the mountains and the caves and the places difficult to approach. And it occurred that if Israel sowed seed, Midian and Amalek and the Easterners came up. Yes, they came up against them. And they will camp against them and will ruin the yield of the earth all the way to Gaza. And they will not let any sustenance or sheep or bull or ass remain in Israel. For they and their livestock will come up with their tents. They will come as numerous as the locust. And they and their camels were without number. And they will come into the land to ruin it. And Israel became greatly impoverished due to Midian. And the sons of Israel began to call to Jehovah. What did they do? They began to call to Jehovah. And it came about that because the sons of Israel called to Jehovah for aid on account of Midian, Jehovah proceeded to send a man, a prophet, to the sons of Israel. And to say to them, this is what Jehovah, the God of Israel, has said. It was I who brought you up from Egypt and thus brought you out of the house of slaves. So I deliver you out of the hand of Egypt and out of the hand of all your oppressors and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. Furthermore, I said to you, I am Jehovah your God. You must not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are dwelling, and you did not listen to my voice. Later, Jehovah's angel came and sat under the big tree that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while Gideon his son was beating out wheat in the winepress so as to get it quickly out of the sight of Midian. Then Jehovah's angel appeared to him and said to him, Jehovah is with you, you valiant, mighty one. At this, Gideon said to him, excuse me, my Lord, but if Jehovah is with us, then why has all this come upon us? And where are all his wonderful acts that our fathers related to us, saying, was it not out of Egypt that Jehovah brought us up? And now Jehovah has deserted us, and he gives us into the palm of Midian. Upon that, Jehovah faced him and said, go in this power of yours, and you will certainly save Israel out of Midian's palm. Do I not send you? Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. We know the story of Gideon very well, don't we? Oh, yes, I'm sure we've read it so many times. What I want to share with us is the experience of working with the Lord. I've preached this area before. I've talked about, you know, different aspects. But I just believe that God wants us to take one or two things from the encounter that Gideon had with the Lord. I don't want to belabor the fact that if you go back to Deuteronomy, God had said there that if the children of Israel went astray, he told them what was going to happen to them. He told them, you know, some of the sufferings that was going to come upon them. And of course, when they went astray, when they would not obey God, some of those things started to manifest. You see, the word of God is so, because the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of God, like we are told this morning, is infallible. He says, it's like the rain that drops on the earth. You know what happens? When the rain starts to fall, when it drops on the earth, what happens? Some of it will bounce back, but they will still come back. They don't go back straight to where they came from. And the Bible says the word of God is like that. That once God has sent his word, once God has sent his word, they will be accomplished. They will accomplish the purpose for which God has sent them forth. And you know, one thing about it is this, that we may not like, that may be unpalatable, is the fact that every word that God speaks comes to pass. So the good ones that gives us the promises of our lives, they will come to pass. Also, the not so good ones will come to pass. You see, what determines whether that word will come true in a life is the position, is our attitude, it's how we relate to what God has said. And so when the children of Israel did not relate well with the word of God, with what he has said concerning them, that word started to come to pass in their lives. Things became so bad. So bad that their neighbors were able to overpower them and to overrun them. When God says he's going to enlarge your mouth above that of your enemies, and suddenly you start to find out that the mouth of your enemy is becoming enlarged above your mouth, there's a reason to ask. We need to start to ask questions. We need to start to ask ourselves questions. We need to start to ask God questions too. When things are not going the way they ought to be going, do we ask questions? Ask questions of ourselves. Ask questions of God. Because when we care to ask him questions, he will answer us. So long as we ask wanting to know, not asking in unbelief, God, you said this. This is what you said. Look, this is what Gideon did. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, that the time of the salvation of the people of Israel has come. But before the coming of the salvation of the people of Israel, something happened. The Bible said they cried to the Lord. They called upon the Lord, and Jehovah heard them. When they had called unto the Lord, and the Lord heard them, he decided to send help. So when the angel appeared to Gideon and told Gideon what was going to happen, Gideon said, look, as far as I know, it's in the history books. There's oral tradition. We've been told by our parents. This is how God delivered them. That God in his might, that God in his power, had rescued them. He took them out of the land of Egypt. And he made them to conquer the people along the way for them to take possession of that land. As far as we are concerned, that is history. As far as we are concerned, right now, that is not our experience at all. It simply means, God, you are not with us. If you are with us, why is all this happening to us? As Christians, if we are going to walk with God, do we ask him questions? Do we relate to him in order to get information? Do we form partnership with him? Do we try, you know, to make friends with the Lord? And actually get to start to communicate with him, finding out what is going on. I think I shared with us in the house fellowships about a couple of weeks ago. I was going to work, actually driving. I mean, we had morning devotion, and I was looking at some of the things that's been going on. Some of the things I know, you know, that are happening, and I asked God a question. I said, why is it that, you know, it's easy for children of God to believe things that are not true, things that are lies? Why is it that it will take root? Instead, you see, if only we were as quick to believe the truth as we believe things that are not true, honestly, our relationship with God would be so different. If our mind were to be so quick as to take in the word of God and believe him the way we believe the lies of the enemy, we won't be the same again. I told us in the house fellowship what God told me. He said to me, he said, do you know that the hearts of my people is a cultivated ground? He said, because it's a cultivated ground, he said, just like good crops will grow very well in it. He said, if you introduce wheat, they grow very well also. In other words, as believers, ours is a cultivated heart. And that is why the Bible said we should guide jealously our hearts. He said, because out of there come the issues of life. Is the heart prepared? And Jesus said something. He said, when you cast out the devil from somebody, he said, the demon cast out will be hovering around. He will be hovering around. And from time to time, he comes to inspect. And when he comes and sees that the place is swept clean, if care is not taken, it goes back. And when he comes, what does he do? He doesn't stay there alone. He will go and invite 7 others to come and join. That is the heart of the children of God, is a fertile ground. And that is why we have to be careful, like I told us, of the kind of things that comes into it. Because when they come, they take root. How many times do we ask God to give us the ability to discern? You know, it's so good to know the word of God. But let's not stop there. Because there are things that God has given us to operate the word. The word does not come in isolation. Otherwise, you read the word, it just becomes like, it's like the people of old read the word. It was just the law. Because there was no life in it. It was not dynamic. It didn't profit them. It didn't do what it was supposed to do in their lives. Because there was no life in it. It was the Lord. And the Bible tells us, it said, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit does what? Make it alive. If the Spirit is going to make us alive, there has to be an interaction with God in the way we worship him. There has to be an interaction with God in the way we go about our lives with him. We don't just operate at the level of the natural. we start to operate at the level of the spiritual, whereby we can speak to God and say, Father, what is happening in this situation? I want to know. If you don't care to ask questions, we may never find out. Do you remember Paul? When Paul was going around preaching, there was a young woman who came to him and was following him all over the place. Oh, he said, and these are men that show us the way of salvation. These are men that show us the way. Was she lying? She wasn't lying. She was telling the truth. But it took the ability of Paul to discern, to know that even though she was saying it, but it was not the Spirit of God that was operating in her. And Paul had to turn back and cast out the demon in her to set her free. We want to walk with God. We need to ask him questions. We need to be able to relate to him in a way that, you know, he will be able to sort of to speak to our minds, to expand his word. Gideon saw that things were not the way they ought to be. And he asked God, if indeed you are with us, why are these befalling us? Sometimes God may choose to answer you straight away. Sometimes he may not give you an answer like that. He will tell you to do some things in order to discover him. This morning we were asked to tell stories about faulty foundation. Faulty foundation. One of the most faulty foundations that I think we have in Christendom today is Christianity without the spiritual element to it. Is the Christianity of good words? Is the Christianity of broad knowledge? Is the Christianity of common sense? Without the Christianity of the Spirit operating and controlling lives. To come to a crossroad and say to the Lord, and say, Lord, I bring this before you. You take the decision here. Tell me something. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do. Sometimes it can be very, very difficult. Particularly if we have vested interest in something. And the Lord is now saying to us that we need to stop it. I'm telling you, it can be very difficult. But we need to get to that point where we can come, you know, ask God and say, well, look, what do you want? And allow God, you know, to take control. Talking about foundation, I met someone this weekend. This is a lady I've been seeing for about 6 months. She's from Singapore. When she was in secondary school or high school, she went into a Catholic school. So they had the Bible. She read it. Oh, occasionally we read it. But it did not mean anything to her. She's married to a Buddhist. This girl was very brilliant. She had scholarship. She went to Japan. She studied hard and, you know. By the time she finished school, she had one problem. And that problem, I think I've told us before, is that she did not, because all her life she spent studying, she did not have the ability to actually interact with people. Very brilliant, academically sound and everything. But she has not, her problem started when she started to work and had to interact with people and not just interact with her books. So she became depressed. So we started talking over time because, I mean, we take detailed history. So I realized she went to a Christian school. I asked about her beliefs and things like that. So she said, look, they were given the Bible. It didn't really mean much. So I started talking to her. I said, look, what about, you need to go back and look at what you have been told. What's your attitude towards it? Of course, you know, when you consult, you have to be careful. not to push, you know, not to be seen to push your views on somebody who has come to, particularly if they are paying you. Thank God, about the same time, God brought a friend into her life. And that friend also talked to her about Christ. To the glory of God, today she's born again. But the story didn't stop there. So she came yesterday. And honestly, she's paying me good money to see her. But I want to let you know that we actually were preaching yesterday for the whole of the consultation. So she came and she said to me that friend, she's torn between going to two house fellowships. She said, one of our friends who happens to be a training pastor told her, I told you she's very bookish. So she reads a lot. So that friend told her, look, you don't have to read the Bible like that. Said, you don't have to read the Bible. In fact, she told her she doesn't have to read the Bible. That all you need to do is just believe. You see, once you believe, you don't have to. And I said, okay. Thank God they've downloaded American Standard Version on their phone. So I started going to the scripture and telling her what the Bible said should be our attitude to the word and things like that. And she said, she was really surprised. Now, talking of foundation, that's another faulty foundation. Because she's not been planted well. She was actually confused. She was afraid. Because she told me that each time they go to church and somebody talks to them about the word of God, that they go back home to read. And that when she reads it, in fact, that she gets surprised some of the things she sees there. And I'm telling you, the husband who is a Buddhist has given her life. And he is also reading the Bible. In fact, he was the one who downloaded the scriptures on his phone. So when I told her, I said, look, this is what the word of God says should be your attitude. We went to Joshua 1:8. We went to Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Berean Christians. You know, we talked about 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and all those things. Where God, the Bible says we should read the word and things like that. Towards the end, he said to me, he said, yes, I know it cannot be true. He said, because, you see, he said, that my friend who is training as a pastor also has extramarital affairs. I said, oh. Faulty foundation. I told her, I said, do you know you can ask God questions? I said, if somebody has told you something, because you don't know yet, can you ask God, say, God, can you explain this to me? Or when you read the Bible yourself, can you say, God, explain to me, how is this not, you know, how can this be? Father, can you just explain to me? I said, God will explain to you. If he's not going to speak to you directly, he will bring somebody your way. Who will explain what it means to you. In working with him, there has to be an interaction with the Lord. Gideon interacted with God and asked him, how can this be? How come our situation has not changed? How come we are going through what we are going through? Because it is imperative that we ask God questions on some of those things. Look with me into Psalm 44, verse 1 to 8. Psalm 44, verse 1 to 8. The kind of God we serve. He is forever faithful to his promises. And so when we don't see them come to pass, we have to make sure that things are right. Because when things are right, his promises will surely come to pass. The psalmist was speaking here. I said, oh God, with our ears we have heard. Our forefathers themselves have recounted to us the activity that you perform in their days, in the days of long ago. You yourself by your hand drove away evil nations, and you proceeded to plant them instead. You went breaking national groups and sending them away. For it was not by their own sword that they took possession of the land, and their own arm was not what brought them salvation. For it was your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, because you took pleasure in them. You yourself are my king, O God. Command, grant salvation for Jacob. By you we shall push our adversaries themselves. In your name we shall tread down those rising up against us. For it was not in my bow that I keep trusting, and it was not my sword that was saving me. For you saved us from our adversaries, and those intensely hating us you put to shame. In God we will offer praise all day long, and time and to time indefinite your name we shall lord. So when things are not going right, ask God. And after asking God, you can ask God to put the situation aright. David did the same thing. He said he had a story. He had a story of what happened before. A lot of times we come to church like this, the word is preached, and people come and give testimony, and we are saying, look, is it really true what people are saying? Or is it make-believe? Are they just saying it to make people happy? If it has not become your personal experience, you can ask God for your own. You can ask that God will make it real to you. In Psalm 40, verse 1 to 5, in similar vein, he said, I earnestly hope in Jehovah, and so he inclined his ear to me and heard my cry for help. He also proceeded to bring me up out of a roaring pit, out of the mire of the sediments. Then he raised up my feet upon a crag. He firmly established my steps. Furthermore, he put in my mouth a new song, praise to our God. Many will see it and will fear, and they will trust in Jehovah. Happy is the able-bodied man that has put Jehovah as his trust, and that has not turned his face to deviant people, nor to those falling away to lies. Many things you yourself have done, O Jehovah my God, even your wonderful works and your thoughts towards us, there is none to be compared to you. Were I inclined to tell and speak of them, they have become more numerous than I can recount. Again, this is the psalmist testifying to the power of God, to the ability of God to make true whatever he has promised. We need to be asking God to put things aright in our lives, after we have ensured that things are right on our part. Jesus was speaking here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. He said something to his disciples that I want to share with us this morning before I close. Matthew 10, verse 27. He said, what I tell you in the darkness, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, preach from the housetop. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What is Jesus telling you in the dark? If we take time to listen to him, what is he saying in the dark? Do you know when Jesus speaks in the dark? When you find yourself in a situation that you don't understand what is going on, for you, you are in the dark. We use that expression. Oh, I'm in the dark. I didn't know. I had no information about it. So, God still speaks in the dark. When you are confused, when you don't know how to proceed from where you are, Jesus says, He will speak to you in the dark when you are in darkness. If it is wisdom you need to get out of a situation, He will supply it. Say, what I say to you in the dark. Do you know that there are dark hours in our lives too? It could be when things unpleasant are happening in our marriages. And we're in the throes of confusion. Jesus may be speaking to you in the dark hour of your life at that time. But a lot of times we are so much in a hurry, we don't listen. And I can tell you that is the time it's even most difficult for us to listen. In the dark hours. When He's speaking, we get consumed by our emotional state. We get consumed by the things that we are yet to see. We get consumed thinking that our prayers have not been answered. Say, what I speak to you in the dark. In the dark, come in the secrets of your life. Things you cannot share with other people. And God is saying to you that this is the way I want you to proceed with it. That is the dark. Something you cannot bring to everyone else. He's still speaking today like He spoke in yesteryears. The dark may also be our financial situation. Maybe we're at the point where we are feeling threatened. Recently, I had a friend, you know, he was going through a situation whereby he was not able to meet the repayments of his house or for his business. Within a short time, the banks were, you know, they were becoming difficult. They were going to, you know, he could see that they were in the process of almost thinking of taking over. That was a dark time for him. It was really dark. Since then, he has not felt comfortable, I'm telling you. He's been thinking of how to diversify. He's been thinking of where to invest. He's been thinking of so many things he could do. It was a dark moment in his life. Sometimes our dark moments, maybe when we want God to do something in our lives. We see it as a blemish, or we see it that we need the intervention of God for that situation to change. Jesus said, He spoke to His disciples in the dark. He will speak to you in the situation of your life today in the mighty name of Jesus. He spoke to them in the dark. Oh, I've had dark times. Like I've always said, once He speaks, I hold on to it. I just believe that His word will not go unfulfilled. That was what Balaam said. He said, once the Lord has blessed, I cannot curse. He whom the Lord has blessed, if He says I should bless, I cannot curse. That is why there's no divination against Jacob that will stand. There's no curse that will stand. The tougher it gets, the more you should hold on to that. It's the wind blowing. It is the wind of life blowing. And the stronger the wind is, the more you have to hold on to the anchor. I mean, I'm sure many of us remember the hymn that says, will your anchors hold? Will your anchors hold? Will you allow your anchor to hold? in the dark moments. When things are not going your way, will you allow the anchor to hold? You hold on to the anchor, which is Jesus Christ, and see what he will do. Because he's forever faithful. One of the things I intended to share with us in our walk with him is also that sometimes the way God answers our prayers may not be the way we want him to answer our prayers. And so even when he's answering, we think he's not answering. That is why when we come to God like this, we come to church, we say we want to be like Christ. We say we need to be patient. We were told this morning. When we say we need to be patient, sometimes I think what we expect is that God will just twist something in our hearts and we'll just walk out of here. And one brother will slap you. Say, do you want the other one? You know, somebody will kick you. Oh, just my leg. Kick my head also. It doesn't come like that. When you pray for patience, God will send demanding people into your life. They become so demanding that you may not realize that your prayer for patience is being answered. Is that not the way it works? In the crucible of trial. In the crucible. It's a practical thing. It's a living experience. It's not theory. Otherwise, everyone will. That's why the Bible says narrow is the way. It's narrow. It's not where the majority of people will go. And I think this is where one area where we Christians miss it. We think when the crowd is there, that means it is right. That is not correct. When the Bible has already declared the final outcome, it said many are called, but few are chosen. So how can it be for majority? Unfortunately, this is not my word. It's what the Bible says. Just like the young woman I was talking to you about, you know, when she was about to go, she then said, now that you have told me this, I said, I didn't tell you anything. I said, what? She was surprised. I said, no, I didn't tell you anything. So I said, I pointed you to the Bible. The Bible told you so. I didn't say it. Sometimes we pray to God to be submissive. We say, God, I just want to be submissive. I want to do this. You know, I want to yield. And God will send suffering to our way. That's why we need to be asking him questions. Otherwise, we may not know the ones that are from him, different from the one that the enemy is inflicting on us. Because for Jesus, in Philippians chapter 3, for Jesus to be, he's always been God. But for the work to be accomplished, what did the Bible say? He honored himself, he suffered. Go and look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. He actually suffered. So it didn't just come like that. He went through it, and we say he's our example. When you say, Lord, I don't want to be selfish. I just know this is an area of my life I cannot share. What will he do? He will send people in need to you. And a lot of times we will have forgotten that we prayed to be that, to be able to give. So when he sent somebody in need to, you know, 101 excuses will come our way. You know, we just say, oh, yeah. Oh, don't you look? See the way he looked at me? That, you know? Oh, yeah. Well, after all, I also need the money at this time and so on. But he's answering your prayers. That is the way he works with us and work with us. Sometimes we pray for strength and humility. And the Bible said, Paul was talking about the messenger of Satan sent to torment him. And somebody will just be a thorn in your flesh. I tell my wife something. You don't just take somebody who has not practiced. Now, let me just share this. I mean, some of the things I read, I'm sure you read it too. You know how many of these athletes, after the Olympics is over, they just go haywire. They start to do things. You hear that Michael Phelps is smoking marijuana. You hear that Rice is doing this. You hear that person is going. You know why? Because for 4 years, or maybe 2-3 years leading to Olympics, they will have to wake up at a certain time. You know, run so many kilometers, swim so many lapses. Their lives were constrained. And so when the glory comes, after the glory has come, it's like a wine let out of the bottle. A lot of them just start to misbehave. Because they have to put their body under to be able to achieve what they achieved. Nobody just wakes up one day and goes to run Olympics without practicing. So also, if we are going to develop spiritual muscles, we'll have to carry spiritual weights. It can be very painful. It aches, it pains all over. But if we are going to develop spiritual muscles, we do what? We carry spiritual weights. That is why a lot of us could be very careful. The Bible says, take care not to be many teachers. Is that not what it says? In other words, be careful not to want to become a teacher, not to want to be a leader, not to want to be, you know. He said, because you have to carry spiritual weights. He actually says that he's going to judge us more thoroughly than he will judge the rest. Praise the Lord. We also ask God to increase our faith, like the disciples did. You find that that's when you become cash trapped. In fact, the children may become ill. You get disappointed from things happening around you. Things that will test your limit will start to happen. And you have just prayed to God in the church. Why is this befalling us? That was what Gideon asked. Could it be an answer to a prayer? We pray for Christ-like life of humility. That is when we get given a lowly task. Somebody, maybe the pastor asks you to do something and you say, this is below me. I've been born again 200 years ago. This is too simple for me. Why? You don't know, I've been in the church for so long. Why am I being asked to do this? And yet we want to be Christ-like. In fact, that is when you get unjustly accused. Suddenly, you say, but where is this coming from? He's forming us. He's shaping us. He wants to make us what he wants us to be. And that is why it will come at that time. And what was Christ like? Isaiah 53:7. He said he was led like a lamb before the slaughter. He said, yet he opened not his mouth. God will give us the grace. When we want to be, how many times I'll just be driving back from work and I say, oh, I've had a rough day at work today. I just want to go and sit down. The most I will do today is just read the Bible or do something. And as soon as I walk in, my oldest daughter will say, hey, Daddy, you are welcome. Now I want to tell you about Dika, what she did to me and so on. And I say, my God, you know. And all the promise, all the plan to go and study just goes out of the window. And over time, you just find out that Every decision you take, there will be a challenge to it. That is the way it works. It's for you to be able to stand and say, yes, this is the way I want to go. Praise the Lord. But the good thing is that victory is sure in Jesus. Did I say it? Victory is sure in Jesus. So when I make up my mind that that's what I want to do, and I come in and the kids start to complain and I get, carried away by what they want me to do, is assignment or something like that. That does not stop me tomorrow from wanting to do what I want to do. I'll move on from there. I'll move on from there. It's part of working with him. Do you know that when Solomon prayed for wisdom, what happened? Yeah, he got it. No, God brought a challenge in his way. That was when those two women were fighting over their baby, over the living baby. And God had to demonstrate his power in that. So when we pray, God will bring something into our lives. If we are prayed for that, as you just know that God has done it, and begin to take a step of faith to confront that situation. And it is usually those things you pray for that the enemy wants to test you in or with. In our afflictions, whose voice do we hear? Do we hear the voice of the Master himself? That is the way of working with him. It's good to know the word. It's also good to know the things that God has sent to oil the wheel of the word. That's why he has sent the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. They are meant to oil the wheel of the word. So when you hear it, God wants us to be able to operate in those things that will make, that will make our ministry profitable to the kingdom of God. I don't know, there may be somebody here today and you think God has not heard you. You've prayed. You think God has not heard you. I want to let you know that God has heard your prayer. What is happening in your life may look directly opposite to what you expect to be happening. Yet I can tell you that God has heard you this morning. And God will make good his word in your life. Can we just rise up? The God we serve is forever the same. He has not changed. His words, they are yea and amen. If you are in the house this morning or this afternoon, and you are waiting on the Lord to meet you at the point of your need, maybe you want healing from him. It could be physical. It could be spiritual. In fact, it could be material. You want God to heal any area of your life this morning. Because we serve a God that answers prayers. Can you just come out here? It's not unto man, it's unto the Lord this morning. You just come out here. We want to